The Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Oh yeah, the truth will set you free. First it'll freak you out. Lately I've been finding it in words long written down. What we need now is all those who will come alive, who know the whole world will change in the blink of an eye. Open up our eyes and our hearts. Let a light shine so bright. There's no left here in the dark. You can't arrest an idea whose time has come. 'Cause they don't.
This is Sally O'Cordy, and you are tuned in to Vaccine Free America on RepublicBroadcasting.org, or RBN. My co-host today is Ingrid Castle, who has the show directly after mine called Immunize Wisely, and she and I have combined our shows because we have a very special guest this evening. He is the founder of the Vaccine Resistance Movement .org, vaccineresistancemovement.org in Canada. His name is Joel Lord, and he is a mad researcher. Let me tell you, he's just published a book, and his book is called Keep Them From Harm, Science, Ethics, and the Problem with Vaccines. Well, that's basically it, science and ethics. That's the problem with vaccines. Anyway, I want to welcome Joel Lord to the program. He has an immense following. I just want to say that right now. This interview will go far, as it always does when I interview Joel. Welcome, Joel Lord.
It's very good to be back, Sally.
Yes. Well, our last conversation was about the Ebola, false flag. Let's just put it out there, you know? And we've had several conversations always about kind of explosive issues. I think prior to that, it was about Andrew Molden, if I'm not mistaken. So
that's right,
he was one of your inspirations, and you give a lot of credit, and I'd like you to give credit at the top of the show to the people who did inspire you, if you would.
Oh, certainly Dr. Andrew Molden is very high on the list, but a number of other doctors and researchers in the book who really buoyed my work. Dr. Jeffrey Bradstreet was instrumental, I think, in opening a lot of doors for me and showing me the stepping stones to, I think, getting to the heart of autism. So his work was exemplary. And a number of other doctors, certainly Wakefield is right up there. Blaylock, and a whole lot of these doctors that have been vilified over the last number of years. And I've been following some of these doctors who've been torn apart by the industry and have been shut down. Their work has been suppressed, and they've just been trying to save the lives of children, right? And they've been just cut apart by this medical maelstrom. So it's been a long road for me. 3 years of very intense deep research, and I also have to put a word out to the hundreds and hundreds of parents who contributed to the wisdom that is imbued in this book, because the book was meant to have an even amount of coverage on all sides, right? From not only the medical industry and the hard science that I was delving into in all the different areas, but the parents, just absolutely shone throughout. And I am so grateful to the parents and the children who have really given me a lot of insight into probing into these deep areas, in uncovering the problems with vaccines and the troubles in the industry, and as you know, we're in extraordinary trouble right now in terms of the attacks against families and the stripping away of all the avenues for the unvaccinated to stave off these mandates, and we seem to be losing ground, but I think my book is an opportunity for families to really turn to the science and begin to understand that the science is the answer. This is going to be a peaceful revolution, right? We're gonna win back our inherent right to freedom, to health freedom, with science. We're gonna have to put our boots on and go after this industry, step by step. It's gonna be class action lawsuits. It's gonna be a lot of time in court, but a lot of time, and what's going on in California right now, just bursting into the legislature. And parents just making their voices heard. I mean, it's so inspiring to see that. So for me, my book was in some ways a time out for me to really go back and regroup and find all the bricks that I carried over the years that really sort of built up this wall of resistance. And I put it all together in a compendium that is, was exhaustive work, but I think in the end, I think it's a really important document. I understand your copy arrived, Sally. You got yours?
Yes, I did. But I wanted to bring something up because I never knew this about you, and it is absolutely key to what your interest in this issue is, and that is you work with special students, do you not?
I did for about, I worked for about 10 years. I worked with children with Downs and autism, and in many instances, I began to see this pattern of these beautiful, you know, teenagers and young adults who were coming into my spending 3 hours at a time with me doing improvisational theater, and I was really doing this kind of a completely spontaneous sort of theater, and it was an opportunity to really get close to these individuals, and I learned a lot. I learned an awful lot about the incredible lives of these people who've been, you know, many instances were institutionalized. Half my students came out of institutions, right? So they weren't just, you know, not only vaccine damaged, but they were damaged with psychotropic drugs, and they'd literally have to be sidelined for 5 and 10 minutes to, you know, take a bevy of pills, you know, every half hour, in some cases, you know. So over the course of about 10 years, I developed a deep compassion for these people, but also I think a lot, you know, deep curiosity about what was behind all of this. After many years of research into the science, I'm really starting to, I'm coming full circle now with all of my work. I think it's really full circle time. So.
Well, what I wanted to ask you, and this is such a small question, what's the problem with vaccines, Joel?
That's a very good question. Well, first of all, and I think this is something that resonates throughout the book, every vaccine on the standard immunization schedule is an experiment. Okay, just let that sink in. Every specific vaccine designated for babies and young children features an identical disclaimer, which I show clearly in the book. Now, every single vaccine has the same quote, right? So it'll say, this vaccine, quote, has not been evaluated for its carcinogenic, mutagenic potential, or impairment of fertility. So a formal admission of this magnitude calls into question the legitimacy of the entire manufacturing process behind today's vaccines, right, beginning with the clinical trials. And the easiest way to circumvent safety is simply not to look for hazards in the first place, right? And that's what they've done, is simply ignore the hazards, right? Carcinogenic potential, that refers to alterations or reactivity resulting from the synergistic properties found in the shots during development, which may inadvertently cause identifiable or hybrid lesser-known forms of cancer. Mutagenic potential, that refers to any shift in the composition of a wild virus during development, which may inadvertently render it more virulent, and that means like more unpredictable or potentially weaponized in its behavior within the external environment, right? Impairment of fertility, of course, refers to the properties in the shot which may transgress the mother's placenta and or the blood-brain barrier in the newborn, rendering the recipient of the vaccine either completely infertile, so the mother unable to follow through on the birth, unable to conceive, or susceptible to fetal impairment, and that is obviously fetal impairment during pregnancy, which results in pronounced damage to a newborn, right? So that being said, stripped down to, I guess, its basic component, the vast majority of infections enter the body, the human body, through the nasal passages or the mucosal membrane and via the gastrointestinal tract, which is referred to as the gut. Right? So that, accordingly, 70 to 80% of the body's natural defenses are aligned at these specific junctures, okay, which represent the immediate frontline protection in service of mitigating conventional exposure to circulating viral, bacterial, or fungal pathogens. So this main buffer allows for a gradual adjustment to shifting environmental factors. It's also an early rite of passage for the immune system. So it's incredibly important, right? This is all part of the body's learning and growing and adapting in the environment, right? Vaccines are injected subcutaneously or intramuscularly. Okay, so either route altogether bypasses the body's natural defenses. Their contents enter the bloodstream, which consists of 90% water plus a residual 10% of colloidal blood product. Now, that's really important to just earmark that and remember that, right? 10% colloidal blood product, but the rest of it's water, encompasses any foreign product in that 10% grouping, right? So then severe neurotoxins in the vaccines are getting direct access, in fact, backdoor access to the innermost reaches of the body. So the mechanism of delivery is critically flawed and counterintuitive to body science, right? This violation, as I call it, is precisely where the real problems begin, right? So most viral vaccines contain an excess of aluminum salts employed as an adjuvant, theoretically meant to boost or jumpstart the immune system into producing antibodies against a particular, modified, that means heat-treated or attenuated version of a prototypical wild virus. Okay. So, but aluminum is also a positively charged bioactive metal. It's 64 times more positive than colloidal blood product is negative. And that's actually some of the work that Andrew Morgan had done before his death. He was studying this area and had identified that particular differential, right, and the bioelectric nature of this neurotoxin. So aluminum has the distinct properties of a coagulant, and it attracts random debris along its path. Once injected in the body, aluminum quickly enters the bloodstream where it merges with the other vaccine components, and then begins this long journey, right? Relentlessly seeking out the opposite attraction, okay? A resulting sludge is drawn electromagnetically through the tiny veins and tinier arterioles into the deepest recesses of organs, basically anywhere in the body laden with bioelectric lipid fatty acid. Now, it turns out that the highest concentration of electrically charged lipids is found in the protective membrane of myelin sheaths, which is the casing around nerve cells, right? This enwrapping protection that guards these vital nerve cells, right? And also, another concentration is along the blood-brain barrier's infrastructure. And so consequently, it is my belief that, and I lay it out in the book very, very extensively, that autism originates at the brainstem from a successive neuronal damage, axon death, leading to widespread neurological upheaval. Now, I'll get into that in a bit, because that's super important. But basically the very signature disease which the vaccine industry claims to protect you against is precisely that which vaccines often spread. But albeit it's a much more virulent, transformative strain than the primary pathogen, right? So it is... I've gone as far as to say the vaccination age has handicapped nature from fulfilling its natural cycle. And our children have in fact become biological breeding grounds, right, for an assortment of chemically altered substances and potentially cancerous variants of viruses embedded in untested vaccines. When I say untested vaccines, I basically mean all vaccines. So, because all of them are essentially untested. When you understand what's going on in terms of the fraudulent clinical trial studies, it all becomes clear, right? Vaccine technology is anathema to the body. It's completely opposed to the natural properties of the body. According to the College of Physicians, which is a mainstream hub that you would think would be essentially not putting out this kind of data, but they did. They did say mutations that can occur when the vaccine virus replicates in the body may result in a more virulent strain. Now, that sounds to me somewhat dangerous and uncontrollable. But, you know, it's amazing that the College of Physicians could make a statement like that. And yet, here we are, you know, being told that these vaccines are safe and effective, right? And this quote from the British Medical Journal addresses two of the most important aspects I've been following throughout my work, right? Premature timing and synergistic toxicity. So, and they say, this is their quote. They said, for most children, the earliest risk of iatrogenic disease, and that means any disease that comes from medical intervention, okay? The earliest risk of such a thing is that from vaccination. Unmasking any constitutional weakness and given at a time of considerable susceptibility to intercurrent infection. So that's kind of a wild statement coming out, right? I mean, does that ring true to you?
Well, say it again, because you got interrupted. The phone line was interrupted. Say that statement again, if you will.
So they say, for most children, the earliest risk of iatrogenic disease, any medical intervention, is that from vaccination. The earliest risk is that from vaccination, unmasking any constitutional weakness.
There it is. I couldn't agree with them more.
And given at a time of considerable susceptibility and intercurrent infection. So they hit the nail on the head there, right? That was kind of an extraordinary statement from the British Medical Journal, which in many cases we're fighting an uphill battle with, trying to get them to get the science out and trying to explain to families that, in fact, the science exists, right? But we know now the science exists, right? It's a question of basically, discerning it, right, and understanding it and explaining it and sharing it with parents to make it clear, right, and then resonate. My big thesis, I guess, in the book is obviously this area of autism. I believe that, as I say, autism begins at the brainstem juncture. Now, primarily after early childhood vaccination. Now, owing to its unique positioning at the headwaters of the bloodstream and the forefront of neuronal activity, right? So the brainstem is like a ball bearing, tightly wrapped with lipids, these highly electrical lipids, all right? The labyrinthine artery branches out from the brainstem and is surrounded by a very thin coating of electrically charged fatty acid. Now, that artery is the only supply line to the middle ear, okay? And the middle ear is crucial to what's going on in these children, all right? Middle ear is kind of is overlooked and underexplored in terms of what is happening and the specific damage that is occurring in these children and the gravitas of what's happening over the course of the years of neurodevelopmental breakdown in these children, right? So that artery is exposed and prone by virtue of its frontal location, right? As they say, the labyrinth has no collateral anastomatic network and is highly susceptible to ischemia, okay? So this means it doesn't correspond to any other adjacent arteries, right? And that, because it's highly susceptible to ischemia, which is the primary, which is what vaccines are causing in these children, the pinching or singeing of these arteries, right? The collapsing of these veins and arteries from vaccine toxicity causing lipid peroxidation, causing the stalling of oxygen flow to the brain, right? And that's very, very specific. So aluminum sludge from viral vaccines is entering the bloodstream. It's drawn magnetically by force of attraction to this neural junction, right, where it systematically wreaks havoc on the myelin. But the slightest degree of interference with arterial flow, so close to that vital infrastructure of the brain, right, is disrupting the operation of the inner ear. So this neurological region, as I say, buried deep in the body matrix, is an apex of extreme vulnerability, right? Autism is synonymous with chronic otitis media, or middle ear infections, and symptomatic of profound injury, right? In terms of the neurotransmission problems that are occurring in these children, right? The odds of, so autism, in this area, these neurotoxins are interfering with the electrochemical operation of neurotransmission, right? Leading to the short circuiting, of primary signals. And the neutralizing of axons and neurons, right? So an otherwise healthy baby is prevented from reaching what are considered the recognizable milestones for proper growth and development, right? And I would say the odds of a vaccinated child either intersecting or skirting this specific, like, calibrated landmine, as I call it, right, hinges on a series of, like, destabilizing factors, right? And obviously the wages of chance, but many of the most pressing autoimmune symptoms seen in children are linked to especially ongoing, you know, inner ear complications, and the close proximity of the ear organ to the brain stem and the adjoining blood-brain barrier is critical, right? I actually use the analogy, so consider the mechanics of an electrical unit installed in a house, right, which is subject to repeated water damage compounded by frayed or faulty wiring, right? So leakage is leading to, like, intermittent disruption and flickering lights, unintended power surges, or, like, conversely, a potential for ongoing, like, system-wide loss of power, right? So that brainstem region is similarly vulnerable to an electrochemical shutdown, right? So these neurotransmitters are comprised of electrochemical, they're called neuropeptides or polypeptides, which are capable of, like, converting the body's existing energy potential into a viable, comprehensible, like, kind of data flow sequencing of, like, either passive, meaning inhibitory, or and active, meaning excitatory responses to incoming and outgoing stimuli, right? So neurotransmitter mechanisms are severely compromised in all children with autism. And this is one of the most important and misunderstood aspects of vaccine trauma, which is implicated in eroding the intricate neurological capacity in these children, right? According to the Journal of Autism and Developmental Disorders, they say the autistic characteristics may be related to dysfunction of the brainstem, which affects the processing of sensory input through the auditory pathway. The brainstem lesion may be part of a generalized process of neurological damage that accounts for the deviant language, cognitive, and social development in the spectrum of autistic disorder, right? Now, I would go one step further in analysis of the condition, right? Vaccines profoundly impede neural circuitry, which breaks the cord, allowing for normal development, leading to a collapse of the vital brain-gut dynamic, right? So here's the brain-gut connection, right? And it seems to be counterintuitive that to think that the brain and the gut are actually directly linked, but they are. And they are directly linked in a really important intrinsic way in all these children, right? The main neurotransmitters.
Hold on just a second. You are listening to Vaccine Free America. My name is Sally Alcordi. My guest is Joel Lord of the vaccineresistancemovement.org. And my co-host is Ingrid Castle of Immunize Wisely. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle...
Time we open up our eyes and our hearts. Let a light shine so bright, there's no left here in the dark.
Hey everyone. Hi there. We're back on Vaccine Free America. My name is Sally Olcordy. My co-host is Ingrid Castle from the ensuing program, Immunize Wisely. And our honored guest this evening is Joel Lord, who has just written a book called Keep Them From Harm, Science, Ethics, and the Problem with Vaccines. So you have just covered a mammoth amount of material, Joel, and I heard Ingrid just asking you a question when we went to commercial. Ingrid, please take it away if you have a question.
Oh, geez, it just seems like actually a lot of questions, but I don't have the book in front of me, Sally. I'm waiting it to arrive.
Well,
but I, I kind of lost the thread at that point. But he talks, I understand that autism is a huge spectrum. So there's some people that will have the same vaccines as another kid. You know, they all have the same vaccines. But some seem to, regress into pretty severe autism. And, you know, do you discuss some of those factors of what makes it so severe? Because I know there's a lot of contributing factors besides the vaccines. I'm wondering if there's any of that that is covered, the contributing factors.
A couple of studies that are, I think, pretty self-explanatory. The North American Journal of Medical Sciences cited in 2009, they said specifically, right, children given the recommended vaccinations are injected with nearly 5 milligrams of aluminum by the time they are just 1.5 years old, almost 6 times the safe level, right? And they say, furthermore, the nature of the aluminum affects the prevailing blood levels and is also increasingly implicated through their use as vaccine adjuvants in autism, right? The Journal of Toxicology and Environmental Health cited in 2011, they said the higher proportion of children receiving recommended vaccinations, the higher was the prevalence of autism. A 1% increase in vaccination was associated with an additional 680 children having autism. The results suggest that although mercury has been removed, other culprits, i.e., you know, the aluminum, the antibiotics, human diploid cells, and synthetics, may be linked to autism, right? But for when you mention like other, you know, the other sort of mitigating factors, I mean, I, from my standpoint, you know, all the children that I'm certainly coming in, you know, that I'm witnessing, coming in contact with, and learning about through the data and through the vaccine adverse events recording system, in terms of all these reports that the mothers are, and fathers are inputting, and the doctors are inputting on these children, well, you know, I would say a good 90 to 95 to 98% of those children were all vaccinated. They were all vaccinated, right? So I'm not seeing too many instances of children coming out of left field, you know, sort of unvaccinated children developing autism, you know, just out of the blue, right? I think there's a very strong correlation, and I think the evidence is just overwhelming that we're dealing with something here. We're dealing with a very specific cause and effect here. It's a very specific, a mechanistic, like, cause and effect from A to B to C to D. And you can see it on the graph, and you can draw it specifically, right, in terms of what's going on with the kids, right? To me it's just unmistakable, right? I mean, when I look at like the one of the reasons why I'm looking at neurotransmitters is because I've found what I believe is the resonating science of the problem, right? It proves it unmistakably, right? You've got like the the main neurotransmitters, they consist of what? Glutamate, serotonin, GABA, and secretin, among others, right? Mm-hmm. Those are crucially important. Glutamate's an excitatory.
Right.
Serotonin, GABA, and secretin are inhibitory neurotransmitters. Now, all four of those neurotransmitters are off the charts in one direction or the other in these children. Included glutamate, the excitatory, right, is accelerated in these children, and especially in boys. And, of course, autism is 4-to-1 in boys, right? But the glutamate is absolutely off the charts, okay? The serotonin and GABA levels are dropped significantly. They're not getting the support of serotonin or GABA, but they're also getting the glutamate causing massive excitatory response in the brain, causing, you know, the release of the free radicals, right? And the secretin in the gut is the big one.
Joel, I just wanted to ask you. I'm not feeling like my question was answered, because while you're saying it's 1 in 4, it's a higher volume of people that are getting nearly all the vaccines. It's more than 25%. So, from what I've noticed,
well, I say 1 in 4. I'm saying
studying some of these other things. I just have noticed the contributory factors, things like The parents are addicted to diet sodas. The mother has
autoimmune disease. When I say
military families, for instance, a couple
is
in the military. They get all their shots, and then they never detox from those shots, and they're exposed to a lot of GMO food, and then they have kids, and you know their kids are pretty much doomed,
The number I was referring to.
There's a lot of these cofactors that I can pretty much, you know, guarantee. If I look at the family history, I can say, well, you must have had an autistic kid, you know.
Right, right. But again, you want to look at the, you know, you look at some of the case history and, you know, Dr. Boyd Haley had cited that, you know, has stated that you know, autism never existed before the introduction of Thimerosal in the early 30s, right? You know, and that's absolutely correct, right? I mean, the autism was not... Right? So we're looking at a period of it.
Boyd Haley is absolutely correct with that. The mercury is a huge factor that's built up as a toxin in our environment and in the system, and that's really what started it initially, and then it compounded with all these other, you know, the Roundup, you know, the wireless.
Oh, absolutely.
These other things are, you know, these compounding factors.
No, unquestionably. Oh, for sure. I mean, it is an explosion, and I think, you know, what I've been able to nail down is the, you know, the, by the way, the 4-to-1, I was a 4-to-1 ratio, not a 1-to-4, right? It's a 4-to-1 in terms of the number of boys getting it over girls, right? It's 4-to-1 in boys in terms of autism.
Right.
Right. And that percentage Pardon me?
Yeah, I guess you should clarify exactly the percentage, because right now they're saying it's 1 in 43%, and there's a higher percentage of boys that's than girls. But that's what figure for 2016.
Absolutely. And you know, and there are very specific reasons for that. There are a number of really, you know, really critical reasons in terms of the testosterone accelerates the absorption of neurotoxins like aluminum in boys, and that's a big one, right? And that's one of the main reasons why autism is so prevalent in boys. This, you know, again, at that early age, and you have to keep going back to the beginning. You have to remember about autism, right? These kids, these children, most of these parents are coming out with eyewitness reports on what they're seeing. There's nothing, they're seeing a beautiful, healthy child, right? Babbling, you know, constant eye contact, alertness. They're bright. They're perceptive. They're absorbing everything they're catching everything in the environment, right? And all their developmental benchmarks are met right up to that mark, that drop off point, right, where they drop off the cliff, 12 to 15 months. So the point is, if there were a propensity for some child to be headed for a fall, there would be indicators early on, and there aren't, right? The vast majority of these children, there aren't indicators early on, and that's why there's such a strong argument now for what these vaccines are doing and how they're stripping away how they're damaging these neurotransmitters, right? Secretin levels in the gut down over 50%, right, in these kids with autism, right? And that what's happening is because these kids, because of the sinkhole effect, they can't process any of the trace minerals and the vital trace minerals and antioxidants that are needed. They're losing out on magnesium, potassium, glutathione, calcium, sodium, zinc, all the vital, you know, and all the vitamins, vitamins A, B6, B12, vitamin C, D3, vitamin E, all gone in these kids, right? They can't harness any of it, right? Mm-hmm. So, and that's why, like, to me, like, I'm, you know, the science is so striking, right, in terms of otitis media and the middle ear infections and the link to ischemia. When you look at what's going on in the middle ear, the reason why there's chronic ear infections in these children, right, the fluid levels in the middle ear are absolutely reliant on a careful balance of potassium and calcium and sodium, right? In there are these perilyth and endolith, these little fluid, these sort of fluid gauges, or these two tubing areas in the middle ear, and they're absolutely vital. And it's not just about, you know, it's a sensory overload in these children with autism, right? You know, one of the mothers was doing testing of her child in a specialist's office, right? Was looking at their hearing levels, right? She was staggered. Her son was there, went through hearing tests for about an hour, and they did sub-level sound, sonic sound, like low sounds, right? And it dropped. She could hear down to about maybe the first, I don't know, 3 or 4 decibels down, right? But then it kept going down, okay? And her son kept hitting this button because he could hear the sounds as they were dropping. And the mother started crying, right? Because she realized that her son was hearing all these sounds down below the sublevels, right, that she couldn't hear, okay? And all these high sounds that these children are hearing as well. So these children are in a sensory overload on every level, right? Visual stimuli is off the charts and is absolutely the visual stimuli is overwhelming, right, in these kids. But also the auditory, it's all linked to it's linked to the biomechanics of the body, to the neuropathy, right, to the very specific vaccine damage that is begin. And I believe, like I say, I believe it begins in that area, right, around the brainstem. And of course, I mean, as you say, you know, we have a litany of problems that families have been dealing with for the entire 20th century. I mean, was riddled with problems, environmental toxins. But this toxin is so specific. This toxin is getting in under the radar. This toxin is getting closer to the epicenter of neurology and neuropathy, closer than anything that exists, right, in nature. You look at like the CDC and the WHO, right? They continually tell us like the science on vaccines is settled, right? And you've got the Journal of Biomedical Science came out in 2002, and they said autoimmunity to the central nervous system, especially to myelin basic protein, may play a causal role in autism, right? So they said that in 2002, right? And that was absolutely correct, right? So we're talking about demyelination is very specific, right? It's something that takes corrosion, right? It takes a very specific, you know, the child starts with the myelin, or, you know, the myelin are developing, take at least a year to develop after birth. I mean, the first year after birth, the primary protective, the blood-brain barrier is just barely finished at 8 months in utero, but the myelin continues its development well into the first year after birth, right? So when you look at the bevy of shots, right, from the beginning to the end, you're looking at when I say the beginning to the end, at least I would say from birth to 15 months or 18 months, you've got many opportunities in there for damage, right?
I have to ask you, because They've never done any studies, and yet they've been pushing these shots on pregnant women, and there's a lot of women miscarrying, but there are babies that are being born to these women that have submitted to vaccines during pregnancy. Is any of that discussed in your book? Because that, to me, that's so criminal. I mean, I've talked to these women, you know, I mean, every now and then I run into someone that actually submitted her pregnant, you know, her pregnant baby. I mean, she's pregnant, I'm sorry, and the baby in utero, she has gotten vaccines while she's pregnant.
Yeah,
so this is a postal worker. I was just like shocked.
But is that right?
Saying they're pushing this, you know, by the OBGYN or whatever, whoever they go to. And I'm not sure if you've looked at that very much. I know, you know, there was a big hubbub about the H1N1, you know, in 2009 and all those miscarriages, you know, that. But anyway, I was curious. We always talk about at birth, and there's a lot of stuff that's happening in utero. But we're coming up on a commercial.
Oh, absolutely.
Break.
Yeah. Okay.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Time we open up our eyes and our hearts. Let a light shine so bright. There's no left here in the dark. You can't arrest an idea.
You are listening to Vaccine Free America. We're coming down to the final stretch, but our guest Joe Lord is going to continue on into Angry Castle's program hereafter. He has written so many chapters, 17 chapters, and he breaks it down by sometimes by specific vaccines, and but others not. So I'm, you know, I'm not even sure where to go with this, Joel. Where would you like to go with it? I'm going to let you.
Why don't we just? I really want to just mention, get this in for your show, Sally. Just talk a little bit about relative risk and absolute risk, and this is what is so important in terms of these clinical trials and how they're fudging data, right? So the industry employs this relative risk formula essentially to obfuscate and literally erase negative clinical trial data before a vaccine is successfully sold on the market, right? So it's a completely duplicitous kind of a like a shell game, right? And it's very similar to what they do on the stock market, right? With shenanigans with, like, you know, default swaps and, you know, all that stuff and all those scandals on the market. Well, they're doing it here. Now, you know, according to George Mason University, they came out and said an important feature of relative risk is that it tells you nothing about the actual risk, right? And they say this can be very important for evaluating how significant a relative risk increase might be, right? And the, you know, another quote, the International Committee of Medical Journal Editors states, and they say, even when an investigator has had substantial input in trial design and data interpretation, the results of the finished trial may be buried rather than published if they are unfavorable to the sponsor's product, right? So I'll give you a perfect example of how they did it. Okay, look at the Gardasil trials. Okay, the Gardasil clinical trials, right? So, like, scientific studies purporting to be genuine have presented kind of misleading data, right, to gloss over these negative trial results, right? So these companies are rigging these controlled studies, and they're using placebos containing aluminum rather than a benign substance like, you know, saline, right, to achieve positive results. So so Merck, the manufacturer for Gardasil, they used this AAHS. Now, that is a particular form of aluminum adjuvant, and it's amorphous aluminum hydroxyphosphate sulfate, okay, the type of aluminum that is particularly adept at trapping, particularly adept at trapping anything in its path, and that includes neurotoxins and any adjoining elements that may be either in the recipient or elsewhere. Right. I think we're out of here, right?
When your doctor tells you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last 2 decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendivite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The 7 herbs in Extendivite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendivite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendivite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to